Welcome to This Is Your Afterlife. I'm Dave Marr. I'm a comedian who survived a coma, and this is my podcast where I talk to artists and organizers who inspire me about death, art, politics, and the events that transform their lives. I have no guest on this episode. Normally, this podcast has a guest. However, today, I do not. And that is because I found myself more emotional than I expected to be about recording and especially releasing last week's 200th episode of the show with Open Mike Eagle. If you listen to that episode, you know that it was a big, like a culmination of some creative and personal things for me to be talking to him particularly. But also, yeah, I think part of it is because, well, before I get into that, I just want to say thank you no matter where you listen to this show. The way you will get this full episode is on Patreon. I do not run ads on the show. I'm listener supported. So thank you to anyone who pays $5 a month for the premium feed, and especially to the producers who pay $15 a month for me to say their names aloud. Like, so, Katie Llewellyn, Fred Fidowa, Shubha Singh, G, Debo, and welcoming to the fold, Doc Lobster, MD. Thank you to all those people for supporting at the level that you do. It means a lot to me. And if you are only listening to the preview here on the main feed, just know the whole thing is on patreon.com/thisisyourafterlife. That's how you get the bonus feed, which to me, the bonus feed is like the full feed because it includes an episode, a full episode every week. The main feed, you know, you get the full episodes bi-weekly and then these little previews of the sort of side quests I'm on here in the bonus feed. So back to what I'm doing with this episode and the fact that the relaunch of the show happened. You know, I went dark for like, it went silent, I guess, since it's an audio medium. For like a year, came back in, what was it, November, I think, of 2025. And now it's in full swing. And what is surprising to me is how little, I was going to say how little it's changed, but it doesn't, it's not that my relationship to doing the podcast has changed. And it's not that, I was also going to say maybe it's that there's less anxiety around it, but that's definitely not the case because I was just about to describe how much I thought about during the silent period, the silent year, about, you know, packaging the show and marketing it and making sure it's clear what the concept of the podcast is. And I just never came up with a way to do that. The Venn diagram between how it felt the smartest to market the show and what I most wanted to do with the show, there wasn't a lot of overlap in those circles. I want it to go on tangents more than are easily marketable. But who cares, right? It's like it's an independent DIY comedy death interview sort of podcast. So that's fine. So, but, you know, for all of that worrying, having this milestone of 200 episodes just a few months into the relaunch is, I think part of why I feel so, is it, I don't want to use a cliche word. I feel, yeah, it just felt big, you know, in the same way that Open Mike Eagle kind of helped me redefine the memory question, at least in his episode. It's about like knowing you're doing something important to you while you're doing it. And that's what this feels like to me. And I'm just really grateful to have this thing. It feels like this is what I do. And what's weird is it felt like making this podcast was what I did even when I wasn't making it. And that's what let me know it wasn't done. It doesn't feel totally strange to be doing it versus not doing it. It's just like, oh yeah, it's what's different is that it's not all in my mind, it's actually out in the world. I don't know if I'm making any sense with what I'm describing here. I'm just trying to say that 200 hit me hard. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for you listening. And I thought to commemorate this occasion, I would talk about, and this is kind of, this can be a keyhole into previous episodes of the show. This can be a way to explore the back catalog if you'd like, because 200 is a lot. That could be intimidating. And so what I want to do is run through 5 episodes of the show and what they specifically changed in my mind about the way I think about death. Like, how has doing this show, I joked when I reflected back on the first 100 episodes of like, has the show fixed me? You know, obviously not. Obviously not, bro. But I want to talk, you know, the show is about death and the way that death transforms our view of life. And doing the show has transformed my view of death. And so I thought this might be a fun opportunity to look back at those episodes and in appreciation and give you a sense of the shape, of, you know, how the show has shaped up from the beginning and since relaunching. So I still haven't decided if I want to do this backwards or like reverse chronological or chronological. I'm feeling chronological. Okay, so we'll start from the earliest episode. I have 5 episodes. Also, one of these is about art. I cheated. Four lessons about death and one lesson about art. The first lesson about death comes from episode 13 with my friend Bettina Johnson, an organizer in Chicago, a good friend, and someone I feel comfortable calling a mentor. And the lesson there was, at least in my mind, Bettina was the first person who brought to my attention the fact that the "what do you hope happens when you die" question that I ask everyone can be taken not just to be about where you go as an individual, what happens to your soul, your consciousness. It can be about what do you hope happens for the future. She talked about, I forget what the specific organizing project is. I think it was an indigenous led, I don't think it was the Final Five campaign, but there was an organizing project that was specifically looking to, I forget if it was 5 or 6 generations down the line. And they were like, we want this done. We want this abolished in 6 generations. And that, it just immediately framing things in that perspective is so much, it's just like, it's kind of spiritual to me. It's like it reshapes the world the minute you hear that perspective. And so, and being a guy in recovery, it means it's very helpful for me to think less about myself and to think about, even though I realize I'm saying this on a solo episode of the podcast I host and produce myself, but whatever, that those ironies aside, the ways that I feel least panicked about death when I am of service, when I'm immersed in life, and thinking about the fact that I'm on a physical planet that will exist after I'm gone, and how do I leave it and the people and the relations, the social relations around me different? That's a big way that my thinking around death has changed.